The 1-900 Wrestling Program is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/1900wrestling. When you become a patron of ours, a few things happen. Number one, you feel the satisfaction that can only come from supporting your favorite independent artists. Number two, you gain immediate access to our private Discord. We have made a decision. We are about quality, not quantity. We are not going to open this thing up publicly because we want it to be like you hanging out with your friends talking wrestling. We had an amazing time last night. We had a Royal Rumble pool that I fucked up by not including a 25, so Asuka won, because of course, the one number I forgot wins. It was great. We all had a blast. It was super fun. So go ahead and become a patron. Patreon.com/1900wrestling. But enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Oh, hell yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we are on the road to WrestleMania, and tell you what, nothing like a road to WrestleMania when there are even higher stakes on the line. Willie Dills, I think, above all, the internet wrestling community got the Royal Rumble they wanted last night? Dare I say?
Yes. One thing I don't like about a lot of the stuff that I see after things like this Royal Rumble is that they like it solely because of the result. Right? Like,
I got what I
wanted. Won, yes. So that meant it was good, right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, there's a little more that goes into something being good or not good, right? To me anyway. Like I personally am an advocate for I like it when wrestling surprises me and not sure. When I predicted the winner and then it was the winner that I predicted. Like
even if he's your favorite?
Sure.
Even if
sure.
he's your no, favorite.
I mean, look, it's part of why wrestling like works. Why like there's still, even though we know kayfabe isn't a thing or isn't real, it's still a thing, and we still embrace it, right? Like, Dalton Castle not winning the title when we were in Orlando.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking. But, like, Dalton Castle finally winning later, so much better because it was the heartbreak, right, that
you
went through. So
yes.
Yeah. So, like, yes, they got the winners that they wanted.
Yeah.
Does that mean that this was a good Royal Rumble? Not necessarily. What made it a good Royal Rumble was that it was a fucking good Royal
Rumble. And it was a good Royal Rumble. And by the way, it was such a good Royal Rumble that I don't know how much time we're going to spend on NXT, which might, but by the time that the King, our Lord, Dave Meltzer prances out onto his veranda to issue upon the world his star ratings, might have the second WWE five-star match since, or the first one since, Cena Punk when in one of the biggest angles in WWE history.
Sure.
So I don't know how much we're going to say other than that was an amazing show. Go watch it, right?
It was an amazing show. Definitely, if nothing else, if you're not like an NXT person, just watch the main event. Just watch Gargano, CN Almas.
Listen, those last two.
The show was amazing.
The Adam Cole, Aleister Black match, I had no idea how they would top that. The physicality in that match, and specifically, poor Adam Cole's back.
And then he had to go out in the Rumble the very next day. By the way, I was watching that match, and all I could think in my head was, Adam Cole, Aleister Black, you're not fighting over a belt even.
No.
Or even a number one contender spot. Or why are you doing this to yourselves? It's just, that's just, they,
to
love,
steal the
they
show,
love to put on a show.
To steal the show. And by the way, I thought it was in the bag. How could you possibly? Because we knew what was going to happen. We knew the spots we were going to get in the Gargano versus Almas match. And instead, we got Almas. I mean, like, not to say that Almas is not, I mean, he's the champion, right? He's worked his way up.
Sure.
But, like, you got the sense that Almas might be kind of a transitional champion, you know, just based on the previous stuff that he has done. That man became a estrella in one night. Like, he was it.
Well, it's funny because he didn't necessarily become it in one night, but it all culminated in this one night, right?
He went supernova. Like it was.
Yeah, exactly. It's been building for a long, long time, and this was just kind of like the unleashing of what he really can do. Because I think a lot of people have been watching this progression and been really enjoying the character work.
Yeah.
But haven't seen him put on, you know, this kind of this quality of match yet. And obviously Gargano's a great guy to put on the other side if you're going to say, okay, now we're going to have fantastic match, right?
Just killed it. They both killed it. They're both great. And we'll see whether or not it gets 5 stars by the Lord our God, Dave Meltzer. But
it's gotten 5 stars by many people who just rate things anyway. Well, by the way, I think we should have our own rating on this show.
Yeah.
We do from 1 to 9 hundies.
From 1 to 900? Yeah.
So we got, you know, like we have a wider breadth of, we don't have to be like stuck on this. Oh, well, that's 5 stars. What do I do when it's better? Oh, well, it's 5 1/4 now. Like, you know.
Yeah. Hey, listen, just because I gave it 877 doesn't mean I didn't like the match.
Yeah, exactly. I just had to leave some breathing room in case somebody does something better.
Exactly.
But getting a perfect 900 that's hard, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, we'll consistently overrate Wrestle Circus matches. That'll be our thing.
As long as it's Tokyo Dome is 800 Congress.
Yeah, yeah. If it's at 800 Congress, 900s. Every man, I'm just saying, it's the best. All right.
Oh, Gentleman Jervis versus Austin the Ref, 900.
900. Okay. I mean, yeah. Come on, just watch it.
It's the 900.
It's not my fault that I'm doing research and you're not, okay? It's 900. Now, we're not even going to talk about it all that much, and it probably deserves its own episode. Hopefully there's a million NXT podcasts that we're going to talk about, because the Royal Rumble itself was consequential, and we'll talk about that as soon as we get done talking about the other gigantic thing that happened this weekend, which was in New Japan. In Sapporo, the new beginnings, the fracturing of the Bullet Club, reformation of. All right, here, let's take this in phases. Number one, Kenny Omega loses the United States Championship to Jay White.
By the way, Jay White's probably his best match.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people were a little down on him after the Tanahashi match at Wrestle Kingdom, even though that match, in a vacuum, was really good.
It's good. It's
fine. It was just not in a vacuum. It was surrounded by Jericho, Omega, and Naito, you know, Okada, and the you know, four-way match right before it, and so it got a little slammed for just not being as good as all those matches, right?
Yeah.
Pay-per-view and then take away the comparisons. Good match, you know.
It's fine. Look, Jay White went from a guy that I didn't know his name, because he was at that ROH show, right?
Yes. Yeah. I remember you saying, I haven't seen Jay White yet.
I really seen Jay White.
Because I saw him at Wrestle Circus against Sammy Guevara, and it was a fantastic match. So yeah. I had high hopes for this guy, but I didn't realize he was going to be going this high this quickly.
Yeah. Well, listen, New Japan's got the Rockets slapped on him, and he's figuring out his character. Yep. Like, that's what is happening right now. So it's like, yes, now he's kind of a greasy knife pervert, but as he goes further, he will realize who he is, and he will become and blossom more of what's going on. So that happens. Now, I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm not gonna pretend like I've watched all of New Beginning Sapporo.
There's a lot I gotta catch back up on, because apparently the Suzuki Tanahashi match was insane as well, right?
Yeah, and that was the
like
first.
There's
like
a lot going on over there that I need to catch up on.
So here's all I know: the streamable clip that I caught up with when I was perusing on Reddit was only Hangman Page and Jay White arguing about the title, right?
Like Kenny Omega.
No. It was Hangman was in the ring.
Oh, okay.
And then Kenny pushed Hangman off so Jay White would just have his moment with the title.
Oh, yeah, okay. I think that's like how it all started.
That's how it starts.
Yeah, because then all the like the shit hits the fan when Jay White exits the ring, right?
Jay White,
then the Young Bucks come in. You got Cody in the ring. Everyone is like kind of getting on Kenny Omega. I think the gist, because you can't hear what they're saying, right? But I think the gist really is just that they're mad that he lost the title. He's the, you know, supposed to be their leader, the elite or whatever. And maybe he's not as elite as he's been telling everybody. And maybe he's on his way out, and maybe Cody should take over as the leader. And if this kind of thing is happening,
yes,
Omega's getting pissed. He kind of starts reacting a little bit harshly. He inadvertently pushes one of the Young Bucks.
Yes, Matt.
And
pushes the Young Bucks. Yeah. The brunette.
Yeah, sure. The brunette of the Young Bucks. Yeah. I've only watched this clip like once where that part was in it. But so he pushes one of them. They act like they really hurt too. So they both take off and they're mad at Kenny. Then Hangman is in there and the villain Marty Skrull's in there, and they're all just kind of like, come on, man, come on. No. Like, they kind of start pushing back and forth. And eventually Kenny decides, okay, whoops, I'm sorry. Oh my God, I've gone too far. What have I done? He starts kind of like apologizing to everybody.
Everybody, cooler heads are prevailing, specifically between Cody and Kenny, who had been...
They were the ones who were the most heated at each other.
The fulcrum. Yeah.
So Hangman gets out of the ring, Skrull's out of the ring. Next thing you know, Cody and Omega share a moment. I think they hug or something, and then Cody goes to like open the ropes, you know, in a gesture of goodwill and good faith to let Omega get out of the ring. As Omega's going out, Cody grabs him, hits him with a finisher.
I swear to God, Ibushi and Kenny just set unrealistic levels of selling for the Crossroads. Because the Crossroads is always
insane. I
think it's like, because both of them, and Ibushi did it to the outside.
It's a move that's very awkward when the other person doesn't participate fully, right?
Kenny sells this Crossroads, okay? Kenny sells this Crossroads in a way that, and I'm just going from memory, involves Kenny standing his body perfectly, like you would
straight up in the air,
like you would some kind of figurine, like a very wobbly figurine. It just, he's up for I think a full 1.5 seconds as his body is planted into the ring. It looks amazing,
and then he crumples to the ground like as if he's just dead, right?
Dead,
like
it's, forever.
Cody,
who's the best now? I'm sorry. The blonde hair. He's perfect in the blonde hair. As soon as he goes, he just has this like...
He's an 80s high school bully right now, and I love it.
But when he hits him, he has this tantric orgasm where you just see like his body just becomes flush. His cheeks are rosy. It's insane. Yeah,
at first you could kind of go like, he's like, oh my God, I can't believe I just did it. And he's like... I'm so glad I just did that. So anyway, Hangman comes back in the ring and Skrull comes back in. They're confused. They don't know what the hell's going on. They're like, what have you? Oh my God. Cody goes to grab a chair. He's like, come on, let's do this. We're going to take out Omega. We're going to end him. And you can see like Skrull and them are not 100% on board yet, but they've clearly drawn a line in the sand that Cody is more the leader now. And they're not stopping him. They're not saying no. So there's still going to be, I think there's still room in the story for those guys to have some reservations about this whole thing.
Yeah.
But then out of nowhere, you hear the fangirls go crazy. I love the Japanese fangirls letting me know like something's about to go down.
And they were about to get a moment just for them. Clear out, boys. This is just for the ladies.
This is for the ladies. Kota Ibushi comes running in, not from the side where everybody else was going to, from somewhere else, clears everybody out of the ring, protects his old friend and sometimes enemy, Kenny Omega. And then they have like a weird moment where he's not so sure. Should I shake his hand? Are we good now? Into loving embrace. Just beautiful embrace. An immediate confetti from
the
sky.
A confetti cannon. Yeah. A confetti cannon goes off on each of the four parts of the ring. It becomes all-encompassing. They hug. It is the greatest love I've ever known.
I'm pretty sure at that moment, like, a double rainbow just shot through the sky from somewhere. It was just a beautiful moment.
So now, I have not seen, apparently there is a, is there a new Being the Elite already? From this weekend?
I think there was one that happened after... I think it's still before this event took place.
All I saw is people in the Discord talking like right before we went on. So I don't know whether or not there's anything that's gone up.
I can't wait for the next episode.
Yeah, we will see. Of course, follow Twitch.tv/beingtheelite and YouTube.com/beingtheelite.
They've been streaming a ton, Kenny, with the Young Bucks. That what? How do they kayfabe this now? How do you live the gimmick?
I don't know. So apparently, BTE dropped earlier.
Oh, they dropped one earlier today. Okay,
so we don't know. I've not seen that. If somebody wants to summarize, if there's any lingering issues with how they'll handle their YouTube series based on these storyline events, then go ahead and put it in the chat. Look, Kenny said apparently to a reporter after the event that Kota's the reason why he didn't leave New Japan. That if it weren't for Kota, that he would probably be in WWE by now.
Yes, he doesn't know if Ibushi's, you know, what he really wants. But if he wants the same thing that he wants, they're going to make something beautiful. And oh my God!
Which at that point, I mean, look,
please,
Golden Lovers versus the Young Bucks.
Oh my God!
Can I interest you?
There's so much that can happen here. I mean, we could even go up the line. We could have them just stomp through all of the Bullet Club together. You know, just, you know, get some like Hangman plus, you know, Marty's Girl tag teams. And then finally, like, you get the final boss, Cody, maybe. And he, you know, gets a partner. Maybe he gets like Suzuki joins the Bullet. I don't know. You could do all sorts of crazy stuff here.
Who knows?
And I'm into all of it. So,
yeah, look, there's a million different if they are going to wrestle as a tag team. Man, are there a million different things that you can do with that. Great New Japan stuff, a great New Japan moment. In terms of the titles, not the only one to flip. Tanahashi seems like he's going to take some time off because Minoru Suzuki murdered him because he's an actual murderer. Like, this is not a bit. Like, he murders people constantly.
Yeah, Suzuki right now is, it's crazy. He's getting pretty old, man, but something about his style and his just who he is.
Here's the other thing.
He can go on forever.
What a lot of people don't realize is he's a literal murderer. Like, he literally murders
murderers
people.
Murderers don't stop murdering. No.
He's like, older. I don't know what, listen, I was in Japan. I don't know what the deal is with the law there, but apparently you're allowed to murder if you're a New Japan superstar.
It's actually encouraged. They sell tickets to it.
Exactly. It turns out he's allowed to kill people, like, until they're dead. So, you know, there is that Japanese wrestling.
They sell shirts in his honor.
Japanese wrestling is different than American wrestling. What can I say? But speaking of American wrestling, the Royal Rumble. Okay, now I'm a little worked up. People might be able to tell. I'm a little worked up today on the show because I watched that Royal Rumble, and I'm like, I'm thinking back to old Royal Rumbles. I'm thinking back to the last time they were in Philly, and they botched Daniel Bryan coming back. They botched the coronation of Roman Reigns. They botched the, like, even the surprise with Rusev at the end. I'm thinking to the Royal Rumble that we went to, which by and large was super fun, but not a ton of surprises.
It was a super fun event. Had one of the best matches I've ever seen live. Cena versus AJ Styles. Had so many great moments in the actual match. But
yes.
Also had the Roman Reigns at number 30 moment. So, I mean,
we're going to get back to Roman Reigns at number 30. Because I swear to God, if everybody here wants to be so goddamn smart about booking, then literally be like, can you pick up on the one thing that they've been doing for 4 years?
Yeah, I know.
Ever since the Philly thing, whenever they want to make somebody new, guess who they beat? Roman Reigns. So,
yeah.
Like,
it was funny because the final four of this, and we'll get to it, but the final four of this, what I loved about it was I didn't know who was going to win when it got to it. And that's how I want to feel, right?
Yeah.
I had a feeling, I had an inkling, but I definitely didn't feel like, oh, it's definitely Roman, right? Like, which I think is a lot of people's thoughts. Still.
Sure.
No matter how many times
I know,
they do it.
Except for the fact that they keep doing it. They did it with Finn Balor. They did it with Randy Orton. The last Royal Rumble, they got Randy Orton to have a stadium-wide ovation. How? Just add Roman. Throw him in at the end. Make it look like he's going to win.
With Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, too. So, I mean, that was, They know the trick now. They get it. And you know what? Roman gets it too. Everyone gets it. It's great. I'm enjoying it.
It's fine. It's awesome. Look, it was great. I love that final six, you know, where it was Rey Mysterio. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. Who looks just in immaculate shape. By the way, the greatest recipient of Enzo Amore not having the right circle of friends, Rey Mysterio, who almost certainly gets that call after they have to totally blow up 205 Live. Right?
Also, apparently the greatest recipient of stem cells in his knees because he can do stuff again.
Yeah. So. He looked great. I mean, he delivered literally 619 619s during that match.
I think so. Yeah.
He delivered all 619 of them.
I think all 30 people in the Rumble got a 619 at some point.
And the crowd could not get enough of it. It was just whenever, God forbid, anybody.
Okay, real quick, because we're like kind of creaming our pants a little bit too quickly here.
Yeah.
Let's just kind of start just from the beginning.
Pull it back. Yeah. Okay.
Because I think that there's a lot of awesome things that happen. Like, because we can't get too carried away in just the result of the Rumble, right? Because there was what I think makes a good Rumble is all of the moments that happen throughout, right? Because it is a tough match to book if you think about it.
Oh yeah,
a lot of people give it like a hard time as if it's the same as booking some one-on-one match. Like, oh, I'm gonna call out this guy because some of his punches looked fake at minute 25 while he's just kind of waiting for a spot to happen.
Or
everyone settle down.
Getting on Sasha because you had some shitty kicks in the corner.
But dude,
people
like Finn Balor who are in there for 50 minutes, do you think that all 50 minutes are planned out? Or do you think there's a lot of times where they're like, okay, now be off in a corner somewhere fake punching somebody? Like, that's kind of how it works, right? But the beauty of it is if it's done properly, which I think they did last night, there's tons and tons of awesome moments that kind of keep happening, right? And that's the point, is like it's just kind of never stopping with another cool moment. So I think obviously we start with a cool moment of just getting Rusev out there. Like, let's just open by just putting Rusev in front of people. Great.
Who, by the way.
Perfect.
Over.
Yeah, Rusev super over, and he's not even doing anything lately. It's crazy to me. It's, like, he's just over because of him.
Why would he have to do something when it's Rusev Day, Dills?
It's Rusev Day every day. But then I love Finn Balor being out second. I love him being the – because you always know there's one of the guys from one and two is going to last, like, forever.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to be in there forever. And it's been different people at different times. And it really speaks a lot to how much faith they have in you to put you out there for that long, because you have to be doing stuff for 50 minutes, right? So the fact that they're choosing Finn Balor, like, that's a push in itself, right? Even if you don't win, because that's what they talk about, like, the year after year after year is like, oh my God, he was in there for 50 minutes, whatever. So all that was great. And then I think the next, like, really great moment that we had was whatchamacallit? I got kids. Heath Slater.
Yeah.
So Heath Slater, I was on board with this happening for the entire rest of the Rumble, was just each person coming out and just kicking his ass on the way to the ring.
So Baron Corbin is eliminated, does not take it kindly, beats the crap out of Heath Slater. Heath Slater is dead. Baron beat the crap out of everybody, gave everybody a break.
Yeah, everybody was out on the floor after he left.
So,
but it was perfect because then Elias comes out afterwards and he gets to sing a song and everything.
Yeah, gets a kick it's Heath fantastic. On the way there.
He's spitting in the face of Rocky's statue. It's great. And then each successive person that comes out just kind of hits Heath Slater one more time. And I was like, oh my God, if they do this all the way up to like the 30th entrant, I'm so on board. But then they swerved me, which is, this is what I love. Like, this is one of the things they did so well was, you know, they had me on board with this thing of, okay, Heath Slater's going to keep getting his ass kicked, never get in the ring.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, instead, Sheamus comes down, chucks him into the ring, and Heath Slater immediately turns around, clotheslines Sheamus out. It was great. Like,
great
it was
spot.
Just, everything about that was fantastic. So, like, it's little moments like this that you book throughout a Royal Rumble that then make the entirety of it good. And then you cap it all off by having a fantastic, like, winner and everything. So I want to point out all this stuff. You also have Kofi Kingston, pancake moment.
The new day's pancakes.
Because how do you keep topping Kofi's thing, right?
Yeah.
It's really hard. He kind of set himself up in a no-win situation. Because every year he's got to come up with something different. And last year was a little bit of a dud with the, you know, jump backwards, hang off of the ring post thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't nearly as good. This time, not only do we get Xavier Woods being the perfect spot to catch his other foot, you also get a pancake spot, and then you get them like leapfrogging him back into the ring. It was just everything about that.
Basket tossing him into the ring, which was great.
So I guess, you know, outside of all that, like, there's And then, of course, I think we had the best class of surprise entrance we've had for a while. Because
really?
You had Almas, Adam Cole, you had Rey Mysterio, which was awesome. And then the Hurricane is like, if you know who he is, you had fun with that one. If you don't, then whatever. Like,
yeah.
He was still fun.
You want to know what? I was going to say that it wasn't a great, like, aside from Rey, which was huge, it wasn't like a huge old-timer, like, kind of
No, they didn't thing. Do like, a whole thing. Yeah, you didn't have, like, the Boogeyman and all that kind of stuff that they
do. Or even, like, DDP. I mean, like, you didn't have, like, a ton of, like, big stars from back in the day. But what you did is, look, man, it is very clear that there is a youth movement afoot, or at least, like, a shift in what the WWE itself finds, valuable. Because not only did you get a bunch of NXT in both Rumbles, like, you got the guys you kind of want to see.
I prefer what they did here because, you know, when you get a bunch of the old guys coming back in, which is what they did with the Women's Rumble, that's fine, and that can be fun.
We'll get to that because I think is
a different
story.
That can be fun, but I think these spots, like, I kind of like all the spots being reserved. Like, I prefer, you know, that like Titus O'Neil comes out instead. You know what I mean? It's like, I prefer that some guys who maybe don't get used very much actually did get to come out and do some stuff. You had like Aiden English get to participate, right?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Where in the past, those spots were always taken up by, like your DDPs and like your old returning guys who come back in. And then inevitably they just get thrown out pretty quickly because they can't actually do much.
Yeah.
And also it's kind of awkward watching an old man have to fall like 8 feet to the floor. I don't really enjoy that all that much. So, you know, have a couple NXT guys come up each year. That's perfect. Have one returning joke guy. And then a guy like Rey Mysterio who can still clearly go and maybe is going to come back to 205 Live.
And by the way, and you have the star of the weekend, El Idolo, Adrian Cien Almas, not only have this 5-star match on TakeOver, but then like has a huge run in the Rumble. Like that dude was in the Rumble for like a half hour.
He was in there forever. I'm actually trying to think like how long was it till he got kicked out? I think he got kicked out. Yeah, so he came in at like 7. Okay, hold on. I can see it right here. And he didn't get eliminated till he was 18th eliminated. So he was in there for a good long, like half an hour at least, right?
Yeah, huge. Like star-making performance, Tranquilo.
Did a bunch of cool stuff. Did his, Tranquilo on the rope spot, and he took an RKO off the top rope, which was pretty brutal. So, everything about that was great. And for the fans who don't know who he is, which it's funny because I think a lot of people talk about wrestling when like a guy like Adam Cole or Cien Almas shows up. They're like, oh, well, everybody knows who he is. Didn't you hear the pop? And it's like, well, yeah, the people who go to the show know who he is. But think about all the people watching who don't.
Yeah.
And now they've gotten a sense of who this guy actually is. And that's awesome.
Now, the winner is Shinsuke Nakamura.
Let's get to this final four. Roman final Reigns. Six, I guess.
Who was the final six? The final six was Roman,
Shinsuke, Mysterio
and
was
Finn.
Still in. Orton, Mysterio,
and Cena.
Balor, Cena, Reigns, Nakamura.
So yeah, so the young guys were Cena, or no, the young guys were Reigns, Balor, and Nakamura.
Yeah, and you basically had it was kind of like it was kind of like Triple H versus Vince.
Yeah,
right for
exactly,
a second, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was an awesome moment, and I'm glad that it worked out the way it did.
I love that Rey Mysterio in that face off ended up drawing Roman Reigns, by the way.
Oh, yeah,
the guy to start brawling with. I was like, okay, that makes sense. Kind of,
I mean,
really.
Listen, he beat the big show,
sure.
Why wouldn't he beat
true.
The big dog?
Yeah, but no, so then it's Orton and Mysterio who are the next ones out, so then you end up with this final four of Cena, Reigns, Nakamura and Balor. And again, you still got kind of that same balance going on where it's like the young guys versus at this point now it's like Japan versus America too.
Basically,
in a way, right?
Yeah.
And then they really did a great job because what I hate sometimes when they do in the Royal Rumble is when they get down to the last guys And then it doesn't take that long to sort out that mess and suddenly you got a winner.
Yeah.
Like, we basically just had, like, an awesome match from that point on.
Yeah.
Right? Even when we got down to two guys, we had an awesome back-and-forth match with some really crazy spots. So, yeah, super well-booked Royal Rumble and obviously one of the most satisfying results that we've had in a long time. Nakamura gets the win. He immediately afterwards calls out AJ Styles and, you know, just that was his promo. He just says AJ Styles.
And that's it.
There you
it.
Go. And we're ready. And everyone's hyped.
After the next pay-per-view where they're going to pretend like that match is in peril. But beyond that,
sure.
That'll be what we see at WrestleMania. And low, all the marks will say that the New Japan match was better. So
now, okay, I think one of the reasons why we think this is so great of a Rumble is because the last bunch have been fairly disappointing. But the reason why the last bunch were disappointing is because we remember how awesome this thing is from, like, kids watching it, right? It's kind of crazy. Like, the hype around the Rumble is always so insane because we do remember it just being crazy, right? When guys like Shawn Michaels were winning it and, like, you know, Stone Cold and everything, that's just the memory everyone has. And so it's hard to live up to it. And the last few years were probably awesome for, like, kids watching. Who don't have that frame of reference.
There's
I think there's a lot
sides.
Of comparison
there,
that comes.
There's two sides to it. Number one, the Royal Rumble is the Royal Rumble, and if you are a fan of Battle Royals and you are a fan of the kind of sports entertainment that you get from a Battle Royal, then you can appreciate and enjoy that. But part of the Royal Rumble, undeniably, is us being revealed the new model for what this year's WrestleMania run-up is going to be, and the bones of that booking decision. And so now we judge that booking decision. So who wins is going to always hang over whether or not the Rumble was good or not, because that's what people factor into it.
During those last few where people were always disappointed at the end, when you had like Batista winning and Reigns and people were booing, I was actually kind of the thought that maybe we should stop having this stipulation that the winner goes to WrestleMania, because then you could just have the Royal Rumble and it would just be it's the match on its own, right? And it wouldn't be this thing where everyone then goes, oh, well, now that guy's going, oh, lol, Cena, lol, Roman, lol, whatever. But it really does add a lot of weight to the match. So, you know, I do think that it's not something you want to take away from it, but it affects how we look at it.
I think it's fine. I think it was great. It was awesome. But here's what we really want to talk about. The Women's Rumble. Never before done. Who knows? I think, to be honest, I kind of feel like this is... this is something that needs its own pay-per-view. You almost need to split the women's.
It's tough. How do you put two solid Rumbles on a card and then have room for everything else? Like it is tough. They need to cut down on all the other matches or something if they want to do
it. Well, look, I think it was a great pay-per-view. I really enjoyed it. But it was a lot. And I don't know how much you can do when, holy crap, did they empty the drawer on that Women's Rumble. And you can't blame them, because it's like, look, we've got 30 years of untapped history that we've never had these kind of, like, an opportunity to bring back and give a starring moment to Tori Wilson and Molly Holly and everything.
Sure. I mean, you had basically everybody that I remember and people I don't coming back for this one. So, yeah, there was a lot of fun stuff. I mean, it's funny that's kind of how it is, because I do sometimes feel like, wow, there's so many women on the roster. I mean, the thing, like, you think about it, like, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce don't come out, right? Like, there actually is still people that could have come out that.
Yeah. I mean, but they did. They really went, they went to the, I mean, it was Trish, Lita, Jackie, Molly Holly,
Beth Phoenix,
Tori Wilson, Kelly Kelly. So that's, unless I'm forgetting anybody, that's six.
I think you're right. I think that's about it. I mean, yeah, even Lana comes out, which is, you know, she's new, but they really did.
Vicky,
this was
seven.
Like what the, and then of course Nikki and Brie Bella. Yeah.
Excuse me. Oh God.
Oh
so
yeah.
Good.
Vicky. Jesus.
And Beth Phoenix. So eight.
Well, if you count Nikki and Brie Bella, who definitely aren't
still
wrestling. Yeah. Yeah, that's a third of the field there.
But you
want
to know what? Here was the best thing I loved about it. Number one is it was this just tour through history, and they made sure to give all the girls their moments, all the women their moments that reflected back on their characters, Mickie James and Trish Stratus, Beth Phoenix and Natalya. But they also were forced, and Michelle McCool, Jesus. So 10, right? They were forced to really let these women shine, to give them star moments. Nia Jax got to be the Big Show. She doesn't get to be the Big Show on Raw. Her character has never been what she would be if she were had the equivalent height and weight advantage of male competitors. But here, she got the strong woman spot. She got the moment where it was like, oh, crap. Beth Phoenix, who's in insane shape. All these women, by the way, were in insane shape.
Yeah, the women coming back, none of them looked bad. I was like, what the hell? That's like our Hall of Famers? Like, what? The men come back and they're all leathery. They just look terrible.
By the way, my favorite, and she looked great, but Jacqueline just looks like the mom you don't want to fuck with at the barbecue.
Sure, yeah. She came around and just started kicking ass. It was pretty great. There was 10. 10 yeah. Returning old school divas.
If you are a little league coach, you do not want to see Jacqueline walking towards you with that kind of pace.
No.
Like, you are going to get well fucked off.
Put your son in the game.
Just put him in the game. You're in the game, Mark. Like, that's it.
But that all aside, like, what did you think of quality here? Because I think that this one was getting a little bit of a bad rap from some people who didn't like the Women's Rumble because there was a lot. There were more botches in this one than there were in the men's. But I also have to, like, I have to remind people that none of these women have done this match before, right? Well, like, this isn't a thing that they do.
I didn't notice, at least to a point where it was going to be confusing for me.
The final kick that actually knocked Nikki Bella off the apron was pretty bad. I don't know if you noticed that. But again, it's like, I don't know. Like, to me, I'm like, well, I understand that it's wrestling.
Well, but also at that point, it's like, look, you've gotten, like, both fighters were at, you know, less than a inch of health. You're literally
yeah. But I mean, it's one of those things where, like, I feel like it just shows like a little inexperience, right? Like,
sure,
maybe
yeah.
In a men's match, like, if it's the counterpart of Nikki Bella, someone who's been in there, they might go like, okay, let's kick each other one more time because that didn't actually connect, so I won't just fall off the ring apron, right? Like, things like that. But that's, again, it's like, that's fine because I understand that it's wrestling and stuff like that happens. And to expect like this weird perfection out of it just doesn't make sense to me as a fan. So I never really care. By the way, I do want to agree with the Buck that Steph was pretty bad on the commentary, though. It became a running joke in the house that we were watching on.
She felt like proud mom, which I'd rather that
she's also like, she was John Maddening the situation. Like, she'd just be like, oh, she just slapped her in the face. And you're like, yeah she did.
I don't know. She didn't bother me as much as I thought she was going to, because I thought she was going to be playing.
It didn't bother me. I thought it was hilarious,
stuff.
But it just became a running joke, like, that she just said, it was almost like she was like looking down at something else and then would look up and be like, oh, look, she's been eliminated. Like, there was like no actual commentary other than just stating what was happening.
I was watching with Ashley. Ashley was more upset with Michael Cole constantly talking about how good everybody looked.
Oh yeah,
that was Ashley's gripe. It was funny. She was she became one of us right next to me. It was beautiful watching her flower into a full bitter wrestling fan as she just kept. We were leaving. She's like, oh my god, like, Michael Cole's just so bad. He's just bad. Like, he's just annoying, and he says the same stuff. He's just really, really bad.
One thing I will say that was, if we want to talk about, talking about how good everyone looked or whatever, I was getting annoyed with every time someone came out and the smarky wrestling fans knew who she was married to or was dating.
Yeah.
They decided they had to chant the name of husband's or said boyfriend. And I'm like,
that,
god damn it.
That,
like,
is,
you don't chant
last,
Nikki Bella when John Cena comes out.
The last thing to go. That will be the last thing to go. We have made tremendous strides as wrestling fans for women's wrestling. The last thing to go is, we know whose dick you've seen.
We get it. The Undertaker. Okay. I know.
Exactly. They're all married to wrestlers. We get it, right?
You know what, though? I got to say, man, all in all, anybody who's putting this match down, I think, is like kind of missing the point. I think this was a success.
It was a tour through WWE women's history, women's wrestling history, right? And it was to show, hey, look, we've got a rich history. There are all these fun moments. Sure, it wasn't what it is now. It's not the work rate that it is now, although all the women that were in there looked awesome.
You know? There's some great spots, too. So,
but
I got two Kairi Sane elbows. Okay, so
yeah. But I mean, to me, it's like how can you not love it? It was like for the first, they were able to pull these things out for the first time ever, and it was so fresh and it was so fun. It was just, I don't know. It was incredibly sports entertaining to me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I'm with you. And I think, and again, it's like, I think we just have to understand like that this. So the other complaint that I saw was, why was this one on last when, you know, like the crowd was dead after the men's one?
What?
And sure, the crowd was dead because they just had just screamed and they all probably had beer headaches at that point, right? But it made sense to me to have this one go on last because not only do you have one of the biggest moments that you're going to, like, of the show that you're going to close it with, and you need that to be the last thing, right?
Yes.
With the, you know, the surprise person coming out after the whole thing's done. But also, it's the first ever women's Royal Rumble. Like, this makes sense. Missed opportunity, though. James Ellsworth comes out number 30 and doesn't win, gets his ass kicked. That could have been a funny moment.
It could have been funny.
I'm glad they didn't do it. But
I think it's
funny.
Fine. I think they learned their lesson from the Money in the Bank.
No, yeah, I don't think they're. But it was, that would have been like a nice self-referential moment, right? I also thought that another funny moment would have been to have, because number 30 in the men's was Dolph Ziggler, come out to Daniel Bryan's music and then the record scratch, and then it's Dolph Ziggler to Silence coming out.
I mean, I think
but
at
again,
that point,
self-referential, too, they don't need to do all this.
Yeah, too angry that they would have made that crowd.
It's too 4chan-y, right, for WWE.
Yeah. Let's talk about... And I'm going to listen, man, I'm trying to center myself. I'm trying to center myself because this is why we can't have nice things. I'm just letting everybody know. Okay. This is why we as wrestling fans cannot enjoy in public the one true art, the one true sport, pro wrestling, because we refuse to actually, for all that we want to proclaim, it's about business. It's about work rate. Look at all these terms I know. I'm going to pretend like I'm a fantasy football GM.
I know what a work and a shoot is. Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
But, like, if you don't understand why it's important for Ronda Rousey to come out and do as little as possible, aside from making it clear that she is now a part of WWE programming, and to simultaneously create the media firestorm that she did last night, then I got nothing for you, man. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know what else to say other than bringing in a massive star for WrestleMania season is huge. She says nothing and does nothing and doesn't get into a fight and doesn't enter into the Royal Rumble because you want to see her on Raw from now until WrestleMania, when guess what? You'll get to see her in a fight.
So, so the main complaints that I saw were...
Go!
The main complaints I saw were that she's taking away from Asuka's moment, right? This is like the number one thing I saw.
That's cool.
People even tweeted at us about this.
Oh, they did. Oh, they did.
She took away from Asuka.
Oh, took away from Asuka. Whoa, my God. The moment that Asuka won the Women's Royal Rumble. Oh my, that, you want to know what? That is a gigantic moment. Oh my God. You're right. She deluded. Hey, if you were Asuka, okay. If you were going to go ahead and ask Asuka, what would you rather have to win the Women's Royal Rumble and have the moment of coronation stop short? So maybe let's say 80%, 70% of the moment that you would have had, right? Would that be a fair assessment that Ronda Rousey took 30% of that?
Yeah, okay. 30% was taken, sure.
30% taken away, okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you prefer that if you could cash in that 30% for the most covered moment on the next WrestleMania? Because I guarantee whoever Brock versus Roman, AJ versus Shinsuke, none of those will get the mainstream coverage that Asuka versus Ronda will, if that's the match.
I don't think that's going to be the match. I think it's probably going to be, I think they're going to split them up. Ronda's going to fight. I don't know. We'll see. But
she went right to Asuka. She made a point to go right to Asuka.
That was exactly the point that I was going to make, is that moment was magnified, not diminished.
Huge,
right? That moment was blown the hell up. Asuka's now, there's a picture of Asuka on the front cover of like ESPN, right?
Right. And by the way,
wouldn't have been there.
They did a huge number for Raw 25 last night. They're going to build on that number with a number that might be bigger tonight, which will likely be Ronda Rousey's first appearance on Raw. They've made a huge wave about it. They timed all this press. Ramona Shelburne of ESPN, who's covered Ronda Rousey's UFC career, immediately, I was still at my Royal Rumble party when my ESPN alert
Ronda Rousey shows up at the Royal Rumble. Yeah.
As a press release for Ronda Rousey with quotes, like, this is shit that they had set up for that moment. The viewership on Raw is going to be insane. More people will know Asuka's name tomorrow than they would have if she just would have won the Royal Rumble by herself.
Yep. No, absolutely. It's to me, it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like people are missing the point in a lot of this stuff, right? And, you know, like stuff like that I was even talking about to you at the top of the show, like, you know, all this stuff makes sense. So people were, you know, another complaint was, oh, so Asuka has to win Royal Rumble to get a shot at WrestleMania, but Ronda Rousey has to just walk in and point at a sign. And it's like, well, yeah.
Yes.
But here's
That's
the other thing,
works.
Too. Do we know for a fact that Ronda Rousey now has a match at WrestleMania? Was that booked? Did I see somebody come out and book the match last night? Or did I just see her point at the sign and reveal her intentions?
Oh, my
right?
God. It's almost as if they have another 2 months' worth of programming to fill. I wonder. I wonder if in the next 4 weeks we're going to shape up exactly what that match is going to be, and then at Elimination Chamber, if they're going to have a contract signing that might become the first time that Ronda Rousey puts her hands on somebody.
Yeah, I think we're going to see her, you know, run through some other people on the roster for, like, we're going to see some stuff. There's two. Yeah, you're right.
No.
70
I don't think
days.
She's not going to touch
69 days as of today.
She's not going to touch anybody. I don't think. I think that you
really. You think they're just going to keep her completely? Yeah. I don't know, man. I think they're going to – I think she needs to season a little bit, but that's just –
I think if you're on one of the house show loops or something like that, you might see her work there. I think in terms
of – she did sign a full-time – like, she's not necessarily here just for, like, oh, I'm going to do WrestleMania and then bail, right?
But you only get the first Ronda Rousey match once.
That's true. That is true.
You only get it once. And the history of that kind of stuff would say that it would be at WrestleMania. I mean, look, I'm not trying to well actually this. I'm just, like, we can have it one of two ways. Either everybody can say, all right, well, you know, if it were me, if I were the, if we can all, like, we can either play fan or fantasy football guy, right?
Yeah.
You have to have one of the two. And as a fan, I get it, man. If you love Asuka and now all of a sudden Ronda Rousey comes in and steps on Asuka's moment, then as a fan, you want to see Asuka beat up Ronda Rousey. And by the way, I think that's what's going to happen. But if you are the fantasy football side of it, then you got to look at this and say, this is as if Mike Tyson, maybe a few years after he was done fighting, but still young enough, had said, no, I want to be a full-time performer. Like, that's...
Yeah, he just wanted to come to WWE and just be in WWE. Sure.
Pluck 61 says, so she's moving to the Performance Center for the next 2 months. She's been training with
She's already been there, right?
Yeah, she's been there for a while, and she's been training.
By the way, I love the influx of these MMA women to WWE because, like, I think all of them right now, if you look at them in comparison to some of the women who just were, because like some of the older women who came back in the Rumble, that was an era when they were essentially turning models into wrestlers, right?
Yeah, you could see
the difference in like striking and what looks real and what doesn't. These women, it looks like they are punching and kicking the hell out of each other, and it just makes it to me so much better. Like every time I see like you know Shane McMahon punching somebody, I'm like, ah, man, not a wrestler, right? Yeah. But like, and then when you see some of these women doing it, it's like, oh no. But it's these UFC women, though, it's like it adds a whole brand new level of realism to the product. And
yeah,
it's great.
Shayna Baszler is amazing. She had a great match with Ember Moon. I love Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler is a terrifying human being, and just never put her in the same room as Minoru Suzuki, because as soon as she learns
they just want to kill
that
each
she's
other.
Allowed to murder people like Minoru is, it's going to be a real problem.
Sure. So, I mean, look, I think we're both on the same page that... nothing was taken away
fight
from Asuka
me.
Here. Asuka,
no, I'm
look,
saying
Asuka,
fight me. Fight me personally. Find me
Asuka
on Twitter, at Justin R. Young.
Rub, right? She has never lost and ain't going to lose and could beat 29 other women and now is going to WrestleMania to get a title shot. Like, she is getting the biggest rub you can get, especially for someone who still technically at this point can't really cut a promo, right? So, like,
She can call WWE
dumb on this one ever. Like that argument to me is getting tired when they're actually giving us what we want, and then people are still like actively looking for something to hate on.
Right? What do you think the match is?
For WrestleMania?
Yeah,
I mean, it seems like I personally, it seems like they want to split up Asuka and Ronda Rousey and have them go each at one of the champions. And I've heard a lot of people saying that Ronda versus Charlotte is the one that makes sense. So you'd have Asuka taking on Alexa Bliss, if Alexa Bliss still has the title. The thing is, I kind of want to see... I'm with you. I kind of want to see Asuka versus Ronda Rousey. Like, I think that match is... That's a winner, right? Okay, four-way? All right.
Fatal four-way. That's my opinion.
The thing is, they kind of always do that with the women. So let's be fair. That's probably going to happen.
And it's like... Hey, look, Ronda, we know that you're really serious about this. We know you've been working really, really hard.
But we don't expose you just yet. Yeah.
We can make sure that we isolate you. We can make sure that you aren't getting gassed, you know, in the middle of it.
Yeah, I'm with it, too. Yeah. But then the problem is, do they then potentially have, like, a United Women's title? Because they probably don't want to do that, right? So you
can
have one of them drop their title before the match.
They can always write around it. Or
you can do all sorts of stuff. But, yeah. No, I like it. Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah,
you know, have one of the titles still in there, and one of the titles has been lost at some point.
Or you know,
and then you have another women's match.
They've done it before, where it's like one fall is for one, and another fall is for the other.
That's true.
One.
You can do all sorts of different things. Yeah. Sure. But I mean, look, overall, like all of it, I think was great and was done well, and nothing about it to me. It's funny because from a perspective of just a pay-per-view was awesome. But now we're just delving into all of the like logistics and the repercussions of this one because there was so much going on here. I haven't felt like excited and exhausted after a pay-per-view like I did after last night.
That was big. I mean, we haven't had news like this. There hasn't been a celebrity that has been involved this directly with the WWE in many, 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 many years. And this is the first time that we've had legitimately someone who was at the top of sports, like not her sport.
Yeah.
Sports.
No, people were saying that she was like the best fighter, man or woman, for a while.
Which
like,
is,
you know, just
I mean,
fighting
yes,
human.
I know, UFC guy, she wasn't even really that good.
Sure. Well, she fell off as pretty much every UFC fighter does at some point because
it's we're know? Talking about stars, baby.
Yeah. Like she had a style and her style got exploited. She also made the mistake in UFC of trying to like win with another style that wasn't her style. And that's where she kind of faltered. She was like, I'm a striker too. And you're like, not really. You're a submission expert, but okay.
Yeah. I mean, and that's fine. And I'm not a huge UFC guy. I made sure to watch those Ronda Rousey pay-per-views.
Sure. I was always intrigued.
Yep. Made sure to do it. There's gonna be a lot of.
All right,
we got to
get this trivia game done real quick before we.
Do we want to save it, or is it a Royal Rumble?
No, it's
thing?
Royal Rumble specific.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, it's not very long. Okay,
come on.
So this is the people at home can play along.
Yeah,
there's a possible score of 900 out of 900.
Okay.
That you can get. All right.
Got you.
Each time you get to guess, it's worth 100 points. So basically, here's how it's going to work. I got three people. These are all previous Royal Rumble winners. All right. So out of the history, so honor system, don't look up all the Royal Rumble winners.
Gotcha.
I'm sure you can remember most of them. And basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you three facts about each one of them. The first fact is going to be a little more obscure. And by the time I give you the third one, you should probably know who this person is.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
If you get it on the first one, you get 300 points.
Oh.
So if you get it on the first one each time, that's 900 points.
900. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But we'll see. And then so people play along at home and see if you can beat Justin here. All right.
Gotcha. Okay. Go.
All right. So first one, first answer. Clue number one. He watched wrestling for the first time when he was five. It was a match involving Chief J. Strongbow. Now, like I said, these are the eclectic. Now, oh, and I'll give you one guess after each answer. You can just make a guess.
Yeah. All right. So these are all Royal Rumble winners.
Yes. So you can just make a guess here, and you got, like, there's only been since 1988, right? So there's not that many guys.
Yeah. I'm going to say The Rock.
The Rock is incorrect. I'm sorry. But not a bad guess. Not a bad guess. The Rock actually, how many did he win? Did he win two or three? I'm not sure. All right. Clue number two.
Yeah.
He is a teetotaler.
Triple H?
Yes. Nice. All right. Hint number three. But so you got 200 points there.
Gotcha.
Triple H, third clue. He is a huge fan of the band Motorhead.
So
by the third,
play the game.
You're supposed to get it by the third. All right. Here we go. By the way, Triple H won it twice in 2002 and 2016.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. But, let's see. We're going to do. Okay. So the first clue. Before he had reached the age of nine, three murders had occurred on his front lawn. Rough life there.
Rough and tumble.
Yeah.
Man.
This is for 300 points.
Stone Cold?
Afraid not, but good answer as well. All right. Second clue. He did not sign with WWE until the age of 31.
Oh, wow. Did not sign with WWE until 31, but he won a Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. I got to stop looking at the chat. It is Booker T. It's got to be Booker T.
No. Booker T. Third clue for one hundy. He has numerous tattoos, including a large dragon on his back.
Oh, wow. Large dragon on his back?
Large dragon on his back. Yeah, Booker T's actually never won the Royal Rumble, by the way.
Oh, is it Batista?
Batista is correct for 100 points.
Oh, man.
All right, well, that puts you only at a total of 300 right now.
300.
So,
all right, we can get a six. We can get a six.
People playing at home, you might have a chance here to beat. Now, look, Justin's a trivia master. I know
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
I tried to make it a little difficult because you recently win like some other trivia thing, like a bar trivia night or something like that?
I mean,
that?
Listen, it gets tiring.
Like, yeah, I've had so many victories. It's hard.
I'm really good at all kinds of trivia.
By the way, Batista has also won twice, 2005 and 2014. All right. Yep. Our third and final former Royal Rumble winner. Clue number one, born in Glen Falls, New York. Where his father was chief of police.
That's Mick Foley, right?
Afraid not. Ah. No, it is not Mick Foley. So then we got a chance at 200 here, which would get you to a total of 500.
Yeah.
All right. Second clue, appeared as himself in the 2013 film Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies.
Oh, God damn it. I have no idea. No clue.
I figured this one might give you a bit of like an era, but...
Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies.
Yeah, the classic 2013 horror film, Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies.
Grew up in New York. That's the key.
A New York wrestler. Someone from New York.
No, Hacksaw's not.
Yeah, you definitely got to turn off the you got to turn off chat. People are going to be throwing out all sorts of answers in there. All
right, yeah, well, I'm going to say Hacksaw. So I know that's not real.
It is Hacksaw.
It is. Duncan. Oh, shit.
All right, his third clue. Yeah. Oh, the third clue. His interest theme is named 2x4 by Jim Johnston.
Oh my God. There we go.
See, the third clue is always going to give it away. That's always going to give it away. All right, we give you a total of 500 points there. 500 out of a total of 900. That's not bad, dude.
Not terrible. Not terrible. Not
that's above average.
Right? Not up to my standards, though.
That's true. But, you know, look, I made the first ones pretty difficult.
Yeah.
So it was going to be very hard to score a perfect 900 unless you kind of got lucky with some guesses. Right?
I have some mountain to climb. You want to know what?
Exactly. So, yeah, maybe we'll bring this game back. It's short. It's sweet. It's, you know, it's fun. So, and we can play chat. If you beat chat honor system, if you did beat or people listening at home on the podcast, if you did beat Justin Robert Young, I encourage you tweet at him and let him know.
Tweet at me at Justin R. Young. And if you think that Ronda Rousey is bad for the WWE, tweet me your address. We're going to physically fight one another. All right. You want to know what? I mean, normally
we got other stuff, but
we got to get out of here. We've gone too long with all this. Great time. Willie Dills, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Willie Dills. That's where I'll be tweeting about Hearthstone, about wrestling, about my dog, about all the things in my life that are happening and fun. And also, you can check me out on Twitch streaming, and I'll be streaming a lot of Hearthstone pretty soon because they're going to make a bunch of nerfs, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, give me the rundown. I've been streaming all day. What is the rundown on the nerfs?
So they're going to nerf Corridor Creeper, Patches, Raza, and Bone Mare, Dick Horse.
Dick Horse
getting the nerf, yeah.
Dick Horse getting a little taken out of him.
Yeah. He's got a little smaller of a dick these days.
I know. Yeah, no. I'll tell you what. A little less lead in the pencil for Dick Horse.
That's right. Yeah, but I think all these nerfs are going to be good for the game, so it'll be interesting. Also, that's where you'll find me. I'll play WoW sometimes. You can find me playing Eternal, other card games, things like that. So check it out. Twitch.tv/WillieDills.
Listen, if you like hanging out and talking and being in a rad community throughout the evening hours, man, there ain't no better place to be than Twitch.tv/WillieDills. If you like hanging out during the daytime and fucking off when you should be working, what you should be doing is watching my Twitch channel, Twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. Every single day, we're talking politics, talking pro wrestling, we're talking so much. Usually politics, though. Every single day, we're doing about an hour, hour and a half of politics chat. Sometimes taking calls. It's a fun time. Go ahead and check it out. Twitch.tv/JustinRYoung. And if you are in the Bay Area, why don't you come on out to a piano fight March 1st? I'm doing a live show, a live politics show.
William, you're doing it at a piano fight. Damn.
Have I told you what the show is?
No. I mean, I've been to piano fight before.
It's a pretty rad place. And we're doing the 2018 Sex Scandal Bracket Challenge. So much like a certain madness that overtakes us in March, but legally distinct from that, since that's a registered trademark.
Sure.
I'm going to break down the best 16 presidential sex political sex scandals, and we as a group are going to vote and discuss our way until we find out who is the true king of the hardwood. That is cheap ticket, baby.
In this
bucks.
Current climate, that is a risky show right there, but I would be excited to be there for that one.
No, it
sounds fun.
It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Go ahead and check it out. It is at Piano Fight March 1st. Be there or be square. But anybody who likes this show can go ahead and support it. Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. But until next time. This is Justin Robert Young. That's Willie Dills Gregory. This is 1-900 Wrestling. Please remember, be dialing!
1-900 Wrestling!
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara!
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.